Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Fabulous. You can take seats. And band done a great job. And is it Gemma? Jess. Jess, great job, Jess. Gosh, that's awesome. Jess, you can take a seat as well. Brilliant. Are we good? So Kirk Bowman, who came by default in one way to Hope City Church just the end of the last week to do, just turn this down slightly because I'm going to bring the mic closer to my mouth, right? And he came to do Academy for the two mornings, but also he spoke to the partners in Sheffield and also spoke on Friday night in Leeds. And but he said this about God's default. He said that God's default is always blessing. That his default, what God defaults to is blessing. And, I don't need to say that there's been circumstances that have been so difficult here in Liverpool and personal circumstances that have been incredibly difficult. But in terms of God, in terms of what God wants to do in Liverpool, his default is blessing. That God is a God who blesses. He's a God who lifts. And with Job's life, he lived 40 or 50 years, in a relative blessing. And then had maybe, they reckon, a year of disturbance, a year of incredible difficulty. And then he lived maybe another 100 years where God blessed him twice as much as what his life was blessed before. And sometimes we can't believe it. Sometimes you think, well, I can't believe that, right? But the Bible's pretty good about the basic nature of God is that he wants to bless you. And the slave in us says, no, all we want to do is do some more stuff for God, But the son in us says that's absolutely true. God is a God who blesses. And we are on the earth so that God can reveal his love to us. And he's about to do little love bombs, little explosions of love right across every one of your lives. And the thing about the dream offering is that you think it's for us corporately, you think it's for the future of Liverpool, when really it's so that you can sow some seeds into this dream offering so that first and foremost that God could see your dreams come to pass. He's so in love with you. He so wants to bless you that again, the slave in us says, oh, God just wants more money off us. But it's not. The son in us says that this is a stitch up. This is a stitch up. God is stitching us up so that he can bless us more than he's ever blessed us before. Everything that's gone before us has just been a warm up. I don't know if you've ever seen a band looking forward to seeing a big band on a stage, that the first band comes out and they're pretty good. The second band comes out and they're big in America, but not big here. And then the final band comes out and the crowd is just storming the stage in that. And everything that's gone before in my life has been the warm up act. Everything. Every single thing in the history of my life has been warming me up for such a time as this. This is my golden era. And after my golden era has finished, I'm moving into a platinum era. Because the ways of the righteous spiral upwards. And I want to say in your life, whatever age you are, whatever circumstances have been around, everything that's gone before in your life has been a warm-up act. God hasn't created a one-hit wonder. God hasn't created somebody that's just had hit, then a second hit, and then we just reminisce of the hits we used to have. Every one of us is a hit that's about to explode over planet Earth. The best is yet to come. And in Liverpool, everything we've done in Liverpool, everything we've done, every offering we've given to, every bit of goodness, every bit of love, everything, every sermon that's been preached has been a warm-up. Every move of God you've been a part of, every prayer that you've ever prayed has been a warm-up. It's been a warm-up for what's about to come. This thing's a volcano. This thing's not a conveyor belt. It's not, well, that's been and gone. well, that's been and gone. No, this is the rising, the rumblings of a volcano that we've had some ash fly out, we've had some pre-eruptions, but it's all building up for such a time as this. The best in Hope City, Liverpool, the best in God's church in Liverpool, the best in the history of God's church in Liverpool is yet to come. I don't care who's been here. I don't care if Wigglesworth's been here. I don't care if Finney's been here. I don't care if Wesley's been here. I don't care who built that cathedral. I don't care. All I know is the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That's what I do know, because the way of the righteous spirals upwards. That God's here to take us into his greater measure. He's here to take us into the fullness of his blessing. Everything that's before us is a warm-up for what's about to come. And I don't know about you, but I'm preparing myself for it. This, I'm going to say, in because this is a one-year offering that's coming up next week, right? That I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more in this one-year offering than I've given in the history of offerings in the life of, let me think, Dave Gilpin. It's because I understand God. See, some of you think that your greatest period was behind you. It's because you don't understand God. This is a stitch up. And if you've had a difficult season, this is your Job year, not your Job life. This is your Job year, because God's default is blessing. And everything that God works on, the preparations of God, are for a greater era in your life. I want you, the Bible says in 1 John, to add to your faith goodness. In other words, get ready, prepare yourself. Prepare your future. You want to be better than you were last year. You want to give bigger than you did last year. You don't want to stay on the same level as you were last year. You want to almost prophesy there's a bigger world coming into my life. And I want you to, like, you don't have to do this, because, you know, but I'm just lining myself up for a bigger world of the kingdom of God, bigger blessings from the kingdom of God. People are going to scratch their head thinking, how come Dave's so blessed? Well, you got to track back to the dream offering, where I made a decision, the best is not behind me. Where I made a decision, the best is in front of me. I'm still building. It'll be a cruel world if the two decades of preparation led to nothing. It'd be a cruel world if I practiced for two decades as a garage band and I never make the big stage of God. It'd be a travesty if the 17 years of imprisonment of Joseph led to nothing. It'd be a travesty if the 13 years on the run of David led to nothing. It'd be a travesty if the 10 years of exclusion of Saul, who's Paul, when he went up to Tarsus, led to nothing. Everything leads to something, and preparation leads to building. When God finishes the foundations of your life, he says, let's build. And God's destiny for your life is not a bungalow, it's a skyscraper. He wants you to scrape the skies of everything that he has for you. He wants you to have blue sky vision. He's got to build a deep foundation, because the lower you go, the higher you can go. And I'm not happy on floor 17. I'm not happy on floor, because I wasn't born to be 17 floors. I was born to be 67 floors. And so I'm building away. I'm busy stirring up faith. And faith needs dreams. The same as if you plant a seed in the Arctic. It's you're going to go back in 300 years' time, and it's just going to be a seed in the Arctic, right? But put that seed in the Amazon. And when you go back to the Amazon in 300 years, you've got yourself a rainforest. Everything depends where you put the seed of faith. And it's up to us to create an incubator, to create something that a hothouse environment that causes the seeds of faith to flourish. And it's one thing to have faith. It's another thing to create an atmosphere of faith, the spirit of hope, the life of dreams and visions. And I need to say to every one of you here, permission to dream again. Permission to dream again. If you've been knocked off a horse, permission to dream again of riding on the open hills, open back on another horse. permission to dream again. Because dreaming is the incubator for faith to come to reality. He who fails to dream fails to see anything that God has prepared for those that love him. All men live under the same skies, but not all men have the same horizons. Some people's horizons are so limited by logic, limited by rationality, limited by the hurts of the past. All men live under the same skies, but not all men have the same horizons. There's those that cast their horizons wide, that open their tent curtains wide, that stretch their curtains wide, that build with bigger stakes because they're preparing the way for God to show himself strong and powerful to the people that believe in him. Someone said to Helen Keller, what's worse than being born deaf, dumb, and blind? She said, having sight, but having no vision. When God gave you faith, he also gave you a pair of eyes on the inside. And most people have faith, but their eyes are wide shut. And so Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church was that I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of faith, are opened or enlightened so that you'd know the hope of your calling. Wow, this is incredible. So that you'd know the richness, the riches of his grace. And that's amazing. So you'd know the incomparable power towards those who believe. My prayer could simply be right now, Lord, open every person's eyes. Sin has darkened your eyes. Doubt has darkened your eyes. Something's closed your eyes. And as Paul prayed to the Ephesians, you've got faith. You've got faith, but your inner eyes need opening so that you can know, you can see the hope of your calling. You can see the richness of your inheritance, and you could know the incomparable power towards those who believe. So that your dreams of the future are bigger than your regrets of the past, so your future's bigger than your past, so you can see incredible things come to pass. There was a strait, like the English Channel in America. This swimmer was trying to break a record, and halfway through she began to get hypothermia, and so she said, get me out. They said, stay in it a bit longer. So she stayed in it. And a mist came over the channel. And she said, just pull me out. She said, I can't be in here 1 second longer. And so they pulled her out and they said to her, this is the newspaper, said, why did you give up a couple hundred yards before the end? And she said these words. She said, because I couldn't see it. When you can't see something, you won't achieve something. So the enemy's made a decision. I don't need to thwart you in your activities. I don't need to cause a car to crash in on your car. I just need to shut your eyes on the inside. Because if I can close your eyes, I can close down your future. So I've been brought along this morning to Hope City Liverpool so that God would open your eyes, to open your eyes. Because if you can see it, then you'll see it. Then you'll experience it. It was Henry Ford that said, if you think you can about a thing or if you think you can't, you're both right. If you think you can't, then you definitely can't. If you think you can, then possibly you can. But you're right on either side. If you can see it, there's a great possibility that you'll experience it. But if you can't see it, there's a great possibility you won't experience it. And everything depends on you. That you want to be a dream machine this morning. You want to whip out dreams and visions. You want to say, God, help me to build the incubator, the Amazonic environment that creates seeds to flourish all around about my place. Listen, Hope City Liverpool, permission to dream again. Come on, permission to dream again. Dream for your own life. Dream for the company of dreamers. Dream for Hope to See the Liverpool that will establish something so mighty in the northwest of England that it will be undeniable that God is alive in Liverpool. This kind of stuff does not happen. It does not happen. It just doesn't happen. We're here not to show the world rationality. We're not here to show the world just good planning. We're here to show the world the supernatural power of God that is ushered in, that's attracted to humility, attracted to faith, and attracted to a hothouse of dreams and visions. Listen, without me sounding too new agey, right? I'm drawing in the power of God even right now because I'm lifting my eyes. God is drawn. He's drawn to dreamers. He's drawn to motion. He's drawn to expectation. It's the hothouse that causes the seeds of faith to flourish and become everything that we're called to your life for. I started off so well, haven't I? You know, everything starts with a dream. Everything starts with a dream. You ask the Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders, a lot of people quite happy about his dream. The McDonald's brothers, everyone quite happy about the McDonald's brothers' dreams. Everyone's quite happy. How about we don't Hoover the house anymore, we Dyson the house. Everyone quite happy about Dyson. Not just a bagless vacuum cleaner, but now a filterless vacuum cleaner, you know. 29 engineers, 2,000 prototypes to create the world's first bagless and filterless vacuum cleaner. His dream is to banish the word Hoover. To banish the word Hoover. So in 100 years' time, everyone's Dysoning. And, you know, when you leave Trafford Centre or whatever and you're drying your hands, you're Dysoning your hands, you know. And because everything, even Martin Luther in 1963, he said, well, I got a dream. Listen, there's not one thing on planet Earth that didn't start with a dream. Even you were a dream. Before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. He's thoroughly acquainted with you. He didn't guess you. He didn't make it up as you went along thinking, well, that's what I created. You were firstly in the mind of God. As many as the grains of sand are on the beach, so are God's thoughts towards you. And when God thinks, he always thinks in the dream world. He never thinks in the world of rationality. He thinks in the world of dreams and visions. And I want to excite you this morning, just for a few minutes, so that you can start to dream, start to dream, start to dream. It's your birthright. And the first sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit, back in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the first sign, we say the first sign was they all spoke in tongues. Well, yes and no, they all spoke the languages of everyone visiting Jerusalem at the time, and 120 people got up and they spoke another language, the praises of God. But what they were saying was the indication of the filling of the Spirit, right? And this is what it says in Acts chapter 2 in verse number 17. It says this. It says, in the last days, this is Peter standing up, quoting from Joel, I'm going to guess 600 years ago, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will, not maybe, they will prophesy. It says that young men will, not maybe, they'll see visions. Your old men, that's me and older, will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they'll prophesy. So how do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not? Well, because you got a different declaration than most people in Liverpool, because you got a different imagination than most people in Liverpool. You got a different proclamation than most people in Liverpool. You dream differently in the night seasons. You daydream differently. How do I know that you're filled with the Spirit? The spirit of expectation, something good's about to happen. There's a spirit that isn't totally cuckoo. You still live in the realm of reality. You listen in the realm of reality, but you live in the realm of possibility. But somehow your life becomes an alloy, that you're not just down in the dumps because circumstantially you're down in the dumps. The Lord is your hope. The Lord is your shield. And it's so infused, it's so impregnated you that that the first sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is prophecy, dreams, and visions. So Hope City Liverpool, right? Let it out. Let it out. If the Spirit of God, if the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you, stop being silent. Stop being grumpy. Stop being miserable. Stop being a killjoy and start to become a part of the company of dreamers. It's a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being a part of the company of dreamers. Now, my key scripture at the moment, which I am loving, right? And this is what it says in Psalm 37, verse number 4, it says this, right? And this is the key to everything I'm saying this morning, right? It says this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. That's ignite everything. Ignite, put your passions in, put your logic in, put your reason in, put your pursuits in, put your commitments in. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I'll just cut to the chase and say 90% of every desire I have is from God. And because it is, God will grant me my wishes. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that God will give me the desires of my heart. How do I know the desires of my heart are His desires? Because the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Well, I've been doing that. Check, check, tick, big tick. Delight in myself in the Lord. Big tick. Whoa, what's happening here? 90% of my desires are God's desires. So I'm different to a lot of churchgoers. I'm confident that the stuff that I'm incubating will come to pass. I'm confident that my sacrifices next week are a part of the atmosphere of dreams, this atmosphere of expectation. Why? Because I'm confident that the best stage of my life in Hope City Church is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. Now, I've created a desire line, right? And see if I can do it for you, right? This is the delight line, right? How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Well, everything starts off with, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. So you're outside of the delight zone. So whenever you hear yourself, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it, you're outside of the delight zone, right? When you hear yourself, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it, you're outside of the delight zone, right? So some of you here think, I don't want to go to church, but I'm going to do it. It's my commitment. Then part number 3 is, well, I need to do it. I need to do it. Well, that's commitment-based. You need to do it, right? So either you're believing in magic, you need to do it like rosary beads, or you need to do it because you need to be responsible and you're going to let people down, or the children are impressionable 12-year-olds and you need to be here. Well, that's still not cutting it. Until you move into, here's the warm, it's not hot. Well, I want to do it. So I want to do it. Okay, I want to do it. I want to do this. It's warm, not hot, right? I get to do this. So, but when you say I get to do this, you've made the equation when you woke up. I don't got to do this. I get to do this. I don't got to. You're walking up from parking thinking, I don't got to do this. I get to do it. I get to do it. I get to do it. Hello, I get to do this. Yeah, but here's the big thing. I'm loving doing this. I'm loving doing this. So now you're in the delight zone. Now, I want to say, and you could do it next week, right? I've whipped myself out of, I don't want to do this, I'm not going to do this. I've whipped myself in beyond the, well, I don't want to do this, but I will do this. I need to do this, out of just being led by commitment to, well, I get to do this. I've whipped myself out, I get to do this. This is bigger than I get to do this. To I'm loving this, loving this. Listen, it's worth doing it. This is the greatest promise. This is the greatest promise for humans, because this is God chucking it back to you. This is God throwing you a tennis ball saying you can hit it, or a baseball saying you can hit this as far as you like, and wherever it lands is yours. This is an empowerment verse. This is worth you snapping out of your grumpiness, snapping out of your miserableness, snapping out of your commitment-led type of Christianity, snapping out of your magic-led Christianity, snapping out of, well, I get to do this, snapping out of, well, I want to do, to I'm loving this. You need to make your prison a palace right now. You need to make your place of cursing. You need to sweep it clean right now. You need to make your bed in your desert right now. You need to love the place you're at and love the skin you're in and make it a dream machine. You need to do that. You need to not let the cold winds of yesterday blow through your prison cell, bound by impossibility. You need to make your prison cell a place of dreams. You need to do that. Sing, well, it's all right for you, Dave, because you're totally set free. No, I'm speaking this from a prison cell. I'm declaring this from a prison cell. It's just that my prison cell looks like a home. That my prison cell looks like a really good place. No, I am bound by impossibility. It's just that I've done the housework. I'm trying to say those things you plug in to make it smell really nice, you know? Yes. Day's smelling nice this morning. No. It's because you're watching a man changing his has to into love to. Turning my prison into a palace. I'm loving the place I'm in. I'm loving the skin I'm in. Why am I doing that? Because there's a blinking good promise that is yelled out from Scripture and repeated in John chapter 14, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my word kind of lives in you, not just on the top shelf, it lives in you. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done. I just love that. I love being Dave Gilpin. Because 90% of my dreams are God's dreams. I'm not having a go, Larry. I'm doing the will of God. And I'm doing it correctly by changing my prison into a palace and by creating a dream machine out of something that was a damp place. And you can do that as well. Because everything starts with dreams and visions. Everything starts with prophecy. Everything starts with, as stars in the sky, so shall your offspring be. Everything starts with waking up a Macedonian call. The whole revival in Europe started with one man that had a vision called Paul at night. Everything starts with dreams. Everything starts with dreams. Now, let me pull this in, right? Let me give you just a couple of things to tell you just about how dreams actually work. Well, firstly, right, people don't tend to like dreamers. So I'll just say that to you, right? People don't tend to like dreamers. This is what it says in Genesis 37, verse 5. It says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Okay, so people hate dreamers, right? And there's a number of reasons. Firstly, it's because you remind people of their abandoned dreams. And, you know, especially older people, they don't like younger people. Because you remind them of their abandoned dreams through laziness, through inconsistency, through distraction, through the love of money. They abandoned the dreams of God on the motorway of life, and you remind them of abandoned dreams. But also you can remind them of broken dreams. The dreams that were broken on the highway of dreams, dreams that somebody else helped destroy their dreams. You can remind people of the agony of their past. But also you can just simply make people jealous. They think, I wish I was young and free. I wish I had a spirit as buoyant as you. If I wish that I wasn't married to so-and-so, because then I could dream like you. I wish that I wasn't living in Liverpool. I wish I wasn't held back by my boss, because then I can. And so you invoke a jealousy inside people. The fourth reason is because everybody who loves you wants to control you. That every parent's job is to make sure your kids are safe. And they'd rather have you in the harbors of life than the high seas of faith. And it's a very rare parent that says to their child, come on, I'm going to cut the umbilical cord and you can go and do whatever you like under the guidance of God. Most parents want to have put in their tuppence worth. Most parents want to say, yeah, but that sounds pretty dangerous. Even when I was in the ministry for the first 5 years, my mother was still sending me civil engineering jobs, applications for 5 years. If I had been a Church of England minister, then maybe it would have had a little bit of posterity attached to it. But I was a Pentecostal minister. I mean, it was weird, right? It had no posterity. She couldn't say to her friends, you know, Dave's a minister, some weird thing happening across the face of the earth. She wanted to say, my son is an engineer. And that's not, control is often out of love, but loving someone too much. There are some people in your life that love you too much. And when you pass your dreams, they say, well, that's a bit extreme. You're not going to give that much next week.
You're an idiot.
You're going to be phoning up Wonga.com pretty soon. And then Wonga will be your God. It's people that love you too much. And you've got to limit how much you share with certain people because some people are out to control you. They're control freaks. But it's a little bit of the job of a parent to be a control freak because you're there to protect the kids for a while and then they need to break free. And if you don't allow them to break free, then you'll create beige Christians that do nothing with their life, barely saved, and miss out on the entire destiny that God has for their lives. The last reason why people hate dreamers is because dreamers are often quite annoying. You know that Joseph was 17 years of age. He used his dream as a weapon in order to get back at his brothers because his brothers already didn't like him because he was the guy that wore the coat of many colors and their coat was gray. It's because their dad favored him. And so he was getting back. He was using their dream to get back at them. And, you know, sometimes in Hope City Church, sometimes you think, well, I need to be the brake while everyone's got their foot on the accelerator. May I suggest to you this morning, right, that God is a pretty good brake foot to pull things up if we're going in the wrong direction. You do not need to be the policeman of Hope City Church. You don't need to be the sensible one. I'm the sensible one. You know, whenever you develop an eldership, there's always the sensible one, you know, who speaks at the very last couple of minutes. Well, I just think we need just to be a bit cautious about this. And we need to review it next year. No, it's because you're a policeman. It's because you're scared of danger because you want to rule out all kind of risks. The good thing about God is that he can redirect a mobile vehicle. The good thing about God is he can redirect us. While we're heading to India, he can cause us to head to South America. God's the God who's sovereign. He can use any ruler or anything in his power to change your direction. But you've got to get moving in this thing in order to be successful. I've just got two more things to say, right? Secondly, that that people's rejection of you is God's ejection into your future. It says this in Genesis 37, 28. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. This is what's happening right now, right? You think Egypt is miles away from where your dreams are going to come to pass because it looks like you were once free, but now you're a prisoner. May I suggest to you that Joseph is now closer to the fulfillment of his dreams than he's ever been before. May I suggest to you, right, that you and I are closer to the fulfillment of every dream than we've ever been in the history of our lives. We're closer. We've never been this way before. We're closer to the fulfillment of our dreams than we've ever, ever been before. Because the Midianites, weren't heading east to Midian, a hellhole on the right-hand side of the Red Sea. They're heading to Egypt, to Egypt. God can use Cyrus. God can use the Midianite merchants. God can use anything he likes to fulfill your destiny, the destiny he has got for you. When you build a hot house of dreaming, it's amazing how God takes over. And so now he's in Egypt, right? He's closer to fulfillment because he's not in the outback of the Red Sea, right? And then he gets bought by Potiphar. His wife's attracted to him. And he says, I'm not going to sleep with you. And then she accuses him of adultery. Then he gets thrown into a prison. But listen, you think your prison right now is further away from your dreams than you could realize. No, it's a prison just directly underneath the palace. This is not a prison in outback Siberia. This is a prison underneath the palace. So circumstantially for everyone here, if you built a hot house, if you're a dream machine, right, and you're building in faith, right, you're closer. It looks like Joseph is now twice removed. No. He's twice closer to the fulfillment of his dream. He got forgotten about for 2 years, right? But if he'd been remembered, the best he would have been is a chain gang leader in Ethiopia. So even the world forgetting about you, thinking, you know, the lack of phone calls, the lack of, if you're looking for a job, the lack of people saying, could you come for an interview? Even that's perfect. Because you're not led by the job center. You're led by the kingdom of God. He can use Cyrus. He can use Midianites. He can use Pharaoh for his purposes. See, all you got to do is build a dream machine and allow the machinery of God, the heart of God, to take over, to lead you into his plans and purposes. Pharaoh had a dream. He saw seven fat cows and seven thin cows. And he said, does anyone know how to interpret dreams? And the cupbearer said, yeah, I know someone who interpreted my dreams 2 years ago. And Pharaoh said, well, go and get him. So they gave him a shave and a clean and a wash, and they presented him to Pharaoh. He said, I can interpret your dream. He said, you're going to have seven fat years and seven thin years. Pharaoh said, oh, I like this. I like this. This guy's fair dinkum. This guy's kosher, right? So then they exalted him the second highest in the land, even before his dream came to pass. Now, let me conclude and bring you into why he believed him. Because 2 years later, right, he was in his prison, right? And a butler and a baker came in, and they both had a dream. They said, does anyone know how to interpret dreams? Joseph said, I think I do. So what he did, right? He got up from one side of the prison cell. He walked over, right? Here's the dream interpreter walking over, saying, psst, guys, tell me your dreams. That is the single greatest thing that Joseph could ever have done, because it was because he did that that he was released into the prosperity that God had for him many years later. He interpreted their dreams while his own dream lay abandoned. He sowed the seed to the future of his dream in the midst of his prison. See, that's why you need to turn your prison into a dream machine. Joseph was a dream believer. It never mentions for 20 years, it never repeats his dream. He never quotes his dream. He never prophesies his dream. He gets the dream at 17. 20 years later, he then says, hey, I remember this is the dream that I had 20 years ago, right? But it does record the spirit of a dreamer. Because in a prison, while his own dreams were crushed, he became an interpreter of other people's dreams. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the dream offering. I'm looking forward to a strong single offering. I'm looking forward to a steadfast monthly offering. So I'm looking forward to a sensational faith offering. I'm looking forward to it. Because in my prison, I'm not here to stay. This is not my future. My future is bigger, brighter, stronger. But what I do next week will determine a lot of what happens in the future of Dave Gilman's life. That I've got to be a dream believer. There's a butler and a baker in your life right now. There's a butler and a baker. There's a butler and a baker and a dream offering in your life. In your life right now. All you need to do, right, is think, hang on a second. I still believe in dreams. Tell me your dream. See? Because he changed his prison to a palace before he got to the palace. Come on. I'm preaching proper. Delight yourself in your prison cell. He'll give you the desires of your heart. How do you make everything work in your direction? By creating a hothouse called faith, built out of dreams and visions. You need to speak differently. You need to talk differently. You need to think differently. You need to stir up. Now, 10% of my dreams are just worldly dreams. They're not going to come true. They're out of my insecurity, out of my somewhere to do with my childhood. They're flights of fancy. They're pipe dreams. Too much opium as a kid. But 90% will come to pass. See what I'm doing now. I'm in my prison, right? I'm interpreting you. I'm interpreting your dreams, your spirit, your heart. I'm saying this is what it means. This is what it means. This is what it means. Stir it up, 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 stir it up. So that everything works for good to those who love God, called according to his purposes. Here's my very last point, and that is don't downsize your dream in times of difficulty. Don't downsize this thing. Come on. You want to upsize it. I remember Reinhard Bonnke when he was doing his tent crusades around Africa, that he saw this huge cloud formation coming in his direction, and he got out of his caravan. And he said to the devil, if you destroy this tent that we just put up, this tent that I'm going to make it up the hell 10,000. He said, I'm going to build one twice as big, right? And in typical Reinhard Bonnke fashion and typical autobiographical fashion, the cloud parted. Half of the rain went to the left, half the rain went to the right, and they had no rain. So none of the tent pegs came up because it didn't turn to mud. And so the tent survived, right? And he was thanking God for this miracle that he saw before his very eyes. But then the next day when he woke up, he thought, I haven't finished my conversation with the devil. So he got outside his caravan and he said, devil, I said that if you destroy this tent, then I'll build one twice as big. He said, I'm still going to. So he built, a tent that held 30,000 people. Whatever the enemy was casting over him that day was the seed and the hotbed of him doubling his vision. Whatever shadow is over you right now, whatever shadow of doubt, whatever shadow of heartache, whatever shadow of parents, whatever shadow of controlness that's over your life right now, you want to do is not half your vision, you're a double your vision. You want to come out your caravan. And the reason I say a caravan is because you're not here permanently. You're on your way up. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he'll lift you up. Humility is to dream the dreams of God. Humility is to stop dreaming the dreams of worldliness. Humility is to start dreaming the dreams of God, to start delighting yourself in God. Is my prayer coming? This will be completely seamless because I'll just start praying. Father, open their eyes. Change these eyes that are wide shut into eyes that are wide open, that they might know the hope of their calling. That they might know the incomparable power to those that believe. And that they might know the richness. Father, there's over 100 Elisha's servants here. And Father, we've seen the army, the Arameans, come and surround us with their horses and chariots. And my prayer is, Lord God, for these servants that are here right now, that you would open their eyes to see the chariots and the horses of God surrounding them. I pray, God, that they would know from the back to the front, from the left to the right, from the youngest to the oldest, that greater is he that's with us than he that's in the world. I pray that they'd know that they're down but not out. I pray, God, that they'd realize that God is a good God by default and by design. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that those in their Job situation, Lord Jesus, would look out from their prison bars and instead of seeing mud, they'd begin to see stars. I pray that it would be supernatural. I pray, God, that it would be the hope that erodes, the hope that comes off living faith. Holy Spirit. Pray that dreams and visions will be our staple. It's what we'd have for breakfast. It's what we'd have for lunch. It's what we'd have for dinner. And I pray that you'd fill this place, God. And Father, we pray, God, for the greatest offering. Come on, everybody stand up right now. Father God, we pray now for the greatest offering that we've ever seen in the history of Hope City, Liverpool. Father, from the back to the front, lift your hands right now. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that this offering knocks our socks off. And Father, even our commitment knocks our socks off, thinking we've never been this committed before. It's because you're not actually led by commitment. You're not led by guilt. You're led by dreams and visions. You've decided to place your prison under the sunshine of dreams and visions, under the prophecy of prayer. You've decided to change the very environment you live in. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, for bigger and brighter and stronger. And Father, every person in this room, I pray that you'd excite them about their God-given future. And even for those that have felt that they've blown it, even for those that felt their sins are far too strong, let them know that even today their sins have been cancelled. Even today you remember them no more. Even today you've turned their darkness into light. Even today, God, that they to you are like a sheep just shorn, Jesus, bright white, clean and cleansed, absent of the judgment of God, totally absorbed in the blessings of God. Father, as far as the east is from the west, you remove our failures from us, you remove our sins from us, you remove our misgivings from us. And Father, everything in our past, even the stuff that's hit the fan, you can turn it into fertilizer. Even the stuff that was meant to harm us, God, can now strengthen us and build us, God. And even the pot of his wife, the one who spelt a bad reputation about us, even the Midianites, the ones who took us out of the cistern to sell us as a slave in Egypt. We want to thank you today that they are even themselves working for the plans and the purposes of God. And Father, even those missed opportunities, even those lack of phone calls, even those people that should have been there that weren't there, even those friends that let us down that shouldn't have let us down, Father, are working together for a bigger and a brighter future. Father, help us to see the sovereign hand of God upon our situation. Help us to see the providence of God upon our circumstances. Help us to see the love of God that knows no boundaries. Help us to see the undeniable love of God that continues to expect great things, even in the midst of our journey, that you continue to believe, continue to expect. And Father, we want to thank you. You can do more in 3 years than you did in the first 30 years of the life of Jesus on planet Earth. Father, we want to thank you, Jesus, that you can do more in the next 3 years in Hope City Church than the previous whatever years. You can do more in the next 3 years in our lives, whether we're 30, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. You can do more in the next 3 years of our lives than you did in the other 3 decades put together. Father, you're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Father God, tell us not how much to give, but tell us when to stop giving. Tell us not how much to believe, but when to stop, when to put a boundary. Help us to show us where the perimeter lies on the goodness of God and the expectation of your saints. And Father God, fill us with a liberality and a faith that engineers the purposes of God to come to pass within our lives. Father, help us to imagine great things, and I pray that you would imagineer great things. Even right now, God's imagineering. God's engineering the things that he dreams about. Father, today I pray that you'd up the quotient, that instead of 50% of our dreams being your dreams, it would up to 60%, to 70%, to 80%, to 90%. I pray there'd be fresh surrender to you. I pray, Lord, instead of a cop-out, instead of an exit strategy, instead of a that'll do, I pray we'd no longer compromise. I pray some would turn their Facebook status back to single and no longer compromise with Plan B. But I pray, God, that every one of us in this room will be part of the Premier League, that Plan A would be the only plan in which we negotiate. I pray, Lord God, that we would say goodbye to the Ishmaels in our life, to say hello to the Isaacs of our life. Father, let promise supersede compromise within our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give God a clap offering of praise. Come on, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Come on, give him some praise. Father God. Father God. Come on, lift your hands right now. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Father God, faith sees. Faith sees. Faith believes. It sees and it believes, God. Father God. Father God. Wipe the dust from their eyes, God. Some of us have a little splinter of bitterness within our eyes, Jesus. I pray that you'd help us to take out that splinter. Some of us have the dust of tiredness in our eyes. I pray that you'd help. Just water our eyes, Lord, tear them up a little bit to take the dust of walking through this life off our eyes, Jesus. Some of our eyes, Lord, are sore from tears, God. And I pray that you'd be the comfort. I pray for those, God, that have cried through the night seasons. I pray that you'd come and place your arm around them. And I pray the God of all comfort would comfort, Jesus. Would comfort. I pray for Dave, God. Comfort him, Jesus. Comfort him. Pray for Nicola and Jono. Comfort them, God. Comfort them. Put your arm around them, Jesus. Put your arm around them. Bring the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The comfort that is beyond anything natural. The comfort that could only come from God. Oh, Jesus, you're the lover of our soul. You're the lover of their souls. When we need you most, you're there for us. I pray that you'd walk with them and talk with them. I pray you'd lift them up on the shoulders of their lover and their Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that we'd enter in, every one of us, into the fullness of our inheritance, Jesus. I pray that as we do, we'd fall more madly, truly, and deeply in love with our Savior. I pray that you'd be everything to us, Lord Jesus. Everything to us. From the back to the front, there's people here that this is your chance to become a Christian. It's your chance to pick up the faith that I'm talking about. Jesus Christ says that he wants you to be born again. That's being born not just physically, but being born spiritually on the inside. For those that have very little understanding of what's all this about, God wants to open the eyes of your understanding. He wants you to be born again. He wants to give you newness of life, but this time, not a life that lasts 3 decades and 10, or three score and 20, but a life that lasts forever. And he's willing to give you everlasting life. He's willing to forgive you of every sin and every trespass. I'm going to pray a prayer and invite you to pray this prayer with us. And maybe those that are backslidden and those that have walked away from God, maybe you can include yourself in this prayer as well. Come on, everyone, say it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I hear you knocking on the door of my heart. I'm opening it now. Come and sit down next to me. Ask you to forgive me. Every sin, every misgiving, forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross to remove my sins and to give me a righteousness, not of good works, but of right standing with God. Today I celebrate my sins cancelled, that I'm right with God, and now come into my heart. Make my heart your home. Make my prison your palace. Set me free from sin, from the past, from habits, from disabilities. Give me the hope of heaven. Give me everlasting life. In Jesus' name. Every eye closed and the back to the front. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, it's your birthright to draw a line in the sand. Nobody can tell you to do it. No one can tell you not to do it. It's your birthright to make a choice to draw a line in the sand. And so what I'm about to do is I'm going to give you 3 seconds when I count to three to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up of every person today who's prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart. With every eye closed, this is not, it's nobody's right to take this decision away from you. This is your decision. This is your personal birthright to draw a line in the sand between your past and your future. If you sincerely prayed that prayer, that short prayer, but it was sincere, then on the count of three, I want you to lift up your right hand, leave it till all the hands are up this morning. Every eye closed. 3, 2, 1. Come and lift it up right now. Lift it up right now. Yep. Lift it up right now. Lift it up right now. Father, yep, yep, yep. Keep them up. Father, I want to thank you, Jesus, and near the third row for a great hand, and the fifth row for 2 fantastic hands gone up, and the sixth row on my left-hand side for another hand that's gone up. It's 5 hands. And I think at the very back, there's another hand as well. Father God, I want to thank you, Jesus, for 6 or 7 hands that have gone up this morning, 5 or 6 hands that have gone up this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray, strengthen them. I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding would be upon them, Jesus. And Father God, I thank you that you're the great restorer, the great redeemer. I thank you, Jesus, that you take broken things and you make them restored back, even better than before they were broken. And I want to thank you that you're a restorer of these people's lives. And thank you for the journey of faith that they've begun today. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for just the incredible future that you have for them, God. And whatever the devil's taken away from their lives, that you would give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, running all over. You'd be a good God. But I pray that they'd stabilize themselves in your peace. I pray that they'd sense your presence. And I pray that your word would be a lamp unto their feet. I pray that this fellowship would be the company of dreamers and the company of that they'd need in order to help them during the difficult times. And Father, I thank you, God, for eternal life that's now as much mine as it is theirs, as much theirs as it is mine. Thank you for the grace of God that's filled this place, that's filled this place, that's filled this place. You can put your hands down. Everyone look at me. Well, that's a little sign of things to come, isn't it? It's a sign of things to come, you know. Share your dreams to a few until they get that big. Then share them to many. Whatever opposition you get, you want to know that you are here to represent the kingdom of God on planet Earth. If God's called you to be a missionary, don't stoop to being Prince Charles. Don't stoop to being part of the royal family. What we're doing is the greatest work on earth today. It's greater than any politician's work. It's greater than any doctor's work. It's bringing the serum called the blood of Jesus Christ to a city that needs its power and needs its deliverance. You need to draw a circle around yourself saying, this is the most unreal life that I could ever live. Permission to dream. Let's give God a huge clap offering. Come on, it's been great talking to you today.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.